Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Give the Lord a big clap. Thank you, Father. It's great to see each one of you here. Tell your neighbor, it's great to see you. And now give a thank you to the worship team, okay? Give them a clap. Thank you, Michael and team. And it's so great. I'll tell you, this is the way to start your Labor Day weekend. All right? I think it's a great little transition, and we're going to get then into September. By the way, what I look forward to, and often we have done this, and we are known globally, many thousands of pastors and thousands of churches have gotten inspiration from the corporate fasting life of this church and this ministry. And we have been doing this for 24 years. So I just want to let you know, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm so excited to be home. Bonnie and I have had to be away, and we were on the mission. It's kind of blends together, but we're just coming back from this last weekend from Compton in Los Angeles. That is one of the great heart centers, in a sense. You may not realize it, but that area, Torrance and then Compton area, is one of the cultural hearts of this nation. Some of the hip-hop and rap music, some of that is really in that region. It began, it's something that came from really a very godly viewpoint, and then, of course, it kind of transformed into all kinds of stuff. But I'll tell you, we had such an amazing time. We had a few pictures, but we'll show them to you. I believe on Sunday we're just getting back, and there's a lot of information we had. This is in part of LA. Some of you are not familiar with that, and it was one of the most notable and well-known African-American congregations in the United States, and especially in L.A. Everybody knows that, and they were just they're blessed to know that we had been part of that. And we had, I don't know how much I can share, but one of the major Hollywood families was part of that, and they came, and just the healing glory was awesome. So I just want you to know, I'm still in those juices, and we were ministered to as much as we ministered in that place, and to see, I believe there is something stirring that is very much congruent to what we had about more than 100 years ago in Azusa Revival. So Azusa Revival that covered this nation and most every other nation was received major waters of revival and healing and restoration. Say revival. Say restoration. How many of you can use some restoration in your life? So I want some. Say, I want some. I want revival. And that prophetic word was right on. When you gave that word from Book of Joel. But I believe that word is for all of us in this season. That God, you know, and we have seen some of the most unusual outpouring of rain in the history of this nation, where the history of weather is concerned. But when he gives this kind of unusual rain, it is a sign. And God says in Joel chapter 2, after you've gone through the drought and you seek my face, I will give you the rains, the former rain and the latter rain. So we are seeing major. Now it's come at a time when people were not prepared, but there is something significant that's stirring, that's helping, and we need to take note. But I want you to be in the middle of it and claim the blessing of God. The blessings of Abraham are belonging to you and your children. So I get in line, and I get in line for the every church family and my personal family. But when the Lord is saying, now, because of what Jesus did, the curse is broken and the blessings of Abraham are mine. Say, the blessings of Abraham are mine. Part of the theme that I want to emphasize tonight, that where we have to discern, and church leaders especially need to discern, what is the voice of the Lord saying? And then always in the anointing, there is a benefit and a healing glory and a revival glory that is coming with his anointing that breaks every yoke. And I want to say, I'm right now saying, claiming, don't focus on the negative, because there is every reason. There is kind of like demonic monkeys that will try to call your attention. And it's like, I was brought up in Kenya, and I would be fascinated by what monkeys would, we would go out and see a lot of monkeys, and they do the most weirdest stuff. But it because of that, you can, as a kid, I would get fascinated and watch them and then had to go away. But that I sometimes see demonic activity, like little monkeys trying to get your attention. And we stay focused on the Lord, his presence, his word, his promises. Say, the promises are mine. And we chase away every cloud of depression and discouragement. So in that context then, part of the prescription that God has given us, he said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will heal their land. I'm summarizing 2 Chronicles 7:14. But basically, it is not just an individual exercise. It's a corporate exercise. If my people, and in that New Testament grace, it is the church community of faith, the church who believes in Jesus, they and enforce this word and let it come to pass in their era. I appreciate all that God has done in the time of John Wesley and Martin Luther, or what he did even in the time of the great visitations and the great awakening in America. But I want to say, I want to see right now the move of God over us, over our families, over our children, and then for our nation. And then we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and blessing on Israel. So right now, you got the opportunity of living in this era. And I want to tell you, celebrate even the challenges, because you are in this time frame, standing on the word of God, and you are the woman of faith. You are the man of faith who is going to call down the glory and the presence of God. And we, say we. There is one, you, and then there is we. And there are individual things that you want to claim for. And then we corporately, God makes us a body that is able to release awesome stuff. If my people, you find therefore in the book of Joel that you said it applies to you, I believe it applies to all of us. You are in the prophetic flow, but it's even bigger than you think, that as God pours back then the former and latter rain, it is the time of restoration and healing. So don't get, I'm jumping ahead of myself now. I get so excited right now. But it is, don't get distracted by the negative things that anyone points out. Anyone would, especially the crazy media, they'll always pick on the negative. It's like if they can put poison in any person or in the psyche of this nation, they will. But we want to focus on the Word of God. And the Word says, as this thing happens, then it means I am going to restore. I'm going to break the curse and the yoke of drought, and you are going to see the abundance that comes with the plenteousness of rain, that I will restore the years the devil has stolen from you, basically. The years the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust have eaten. I will restore. Say, he will restore. So that's a word in each of you. I'm praying the Lord will give you grace to not get distracted by any of negative things and lay hold of the promises of God. And that's part of your mission. And individually and corporately. So we are setting aside just all of that to say, September 5th, that's Tuesday, correct? We're going to start our corporate 21-day fast, seeking the face of the Lord. Now, do we have a calendar? We have a sign-up calendar, or do we have it? We'll start on Sunday. It's online. And what if people want to do it just physically? Sunday, sign-up sheet. Okay. And then there will be a sign-up sheet. Now, seek the Lord's face as to when you can do it. You could say, I'm going to do a fast. And you don't have to do all day. You can miss breakfast and lunch. God will honor that. Or you can just say, okay, I'm going to drink V8 or vegetable juice or coconut water, whatever, in the morning and lunchtime. And then in the evening, I'll have a salad. Or for the next 21 days, I am not going to have dessert. I'm going to have salads mainly. So there are different ways that you fast and pray. But the Lord Jesus instructed his disciples and said, there are certain obstacles that will not go away except through prayer and fasting. So this thing, he said, does not come out except through prayer and fasting. Now, what I want you to know and celebrate is you are not going to be alone. Say, I'm not alone. So you can take a little bit of that, and we're going to, even if you want to give us some written requests you have, please, pastors, agree, and leadership team, agree with me for this. My sons, I believe that there are several families that are going to have deliverance in their family for opioid addiction. That there is, it's a plague that has come on this nation, and we're going to break that yoke. Said the yoke is broken. So in faith, I'm going to see that as one of the major things that will start breaking the whole demonic spirit of addiction. And that behind it is the cartels and the violence that goes with gangs because they are attached to some of this stuff. But anyway, we're going to go after that. And then we're going to pray that in that whole context that there are different other yokes that are going to break. We'll explain some of that more. So, but what you want to do is just be. Do the fast. Be together or come. It'll be important if you are able to make it, encourage others to come to the watch. Worship. This is concentrated worship. I love it. And your batteries, like he said, you are being very prophetic tonight, Richie. And that our batteries need to be charged. And so whether you know it or not, you're either on low power or it's not some areas we are not functioning. And God wants to re-energize you. I want to be in this time frame, God's energizer bunny. And be energized. Tell your neighbor, be energized, neighbor. And so we set each other free from yokes that would limit us, yokes that would depress us, yokes that would more set us against each other than against the enemy that needs to be pulled down. So there are spiritual forces of wickedness in the high places, it says, that only the church and we together can pull down. I remember many, many years ago as a young man, one of the major burdens I had that broke my heart, that I was the only one who was saved in my family. They were all Hindus. And then my sister came to the Lord. But after that, the whole family was, no, we have our way. And then we are proud of the Hindu ways and all of that. And I said, it broke my heart. I said, my mother doesn't know Jesus. Lord, I want my mommy to be there when I go to heaven. And I really heard the word of the Lord say, this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. And I remembered I did a long fast, and Bonnie was familiar with my long fasting. And one of those, the specific fast where I bound the thing that was attacking, and some of you do not, over your family, one of the things I've been praying, even ahead of the fast, is that we're going to see the breaking of yokes over families, of the strong men. There is a strong man. And if it is of addiction, or it is of broken marriages, or infirmities, that it's a chain of infirmity that came from the grandma, and then the mommy had it, and now it's trying to attack you. Or cancer, that when great-grandpa had it, grandpa had it, now your daddy had it, and now he's trying to attack. And we break that. The curse does not belong to us. We are going to be free. So that's some of the things that it's important for us to take a full advantage that, you know, it's like the banqueting table that's set before us, the Thanksgiving table. You should have seen my face the first time when I came to America and I saw a Thanksgiving table at a large family gathering, and I was invited, and I said, I have never seen so much food in my life. You know, I was raised up in Kenya, Africa, and then I saw the things, and I said, whoa. And then when all of that, and then you kind of get released, you don't have to. I just need some water and some bread. No, sir, I'm going to get every blessing God has for me. So that's why don't be too humble in claiming the blessings of God. But we are, I'm emphasizing, I'm really excited about what God's going to be doing as a result of this corporate fast. And I want you to just, and then you, if you want to drop me a note or email, it's on our email that you can say, I'm going to fast these days. I'm joining with you, Brother Mahesh, Pastor Bonnie, the whole team here at All Nations Church, and for every family. I want to know if there are any major requests we can pray for and claim that specific breakthrough for your children, for you, for your finances, for your jobs. And then the other thing I was excited about is that in preparation of this fight, since for this season, we'll see how long we continue in this, but definitely through the fast, we are going to have at 9 o'clock in the morning, before the Sunday service begins at 10 o'clock, we're going to have soaking. So we're going to just come and soak in the Lord. And Heather and her team will be here and others to just help bless you, get in the atmosphere. And you just want to soak. And that's another way of getting your batteries charged. Stay in the presence of God. Let the Lord heal your soul. And so invite others who need that healing of the soul to come and do the soaking with us here. And then, of course, we'll get back. And then, 10 o'clock, the worship begins. And we're going to, I really believe we are entering an amazing, dynamic season for the Church of Jesus Christ. When you see a major challenge, and the challenge is being overcome by faith and by that heart that humanity has, and that's what we are seeing exampled in the result of Hurricane Harvey and the tropical storm and all of the results in South Texas, Houston, and other areas. So, and by the way, we're going to take up a special offering. We have already want to tell you that we are already giving the church we have this last few days, and I'll hopefully show you the pictures on Sunday. One of the things that we saw was that our report from, we have a lot of contacts and friends and really family almost in the some of the strategic areas of Texas. And so we are staying in touch with them and helping them. But as a result of that, of the seed, there was a big seed that all nations as together we planted, and part of it was used that there was some of these flood, people who have been affected by these floods all around South Texas. It is not just, we see Houston as the main focus in the news, but it's Port Aransas, Rockport, some of those areas in Corpus Christi, and those have been completely neglected by the media. But we heard their cries, some of the pastors were telling what was they needed, and we have been helping them. So today, they were in the process of sending me us some pictures and communication stuff. But we were, All Nations Church and Maheshara Ministries was helping feed hundreds of people. Even today, we sent massive amount, hundreds of pounds of beef and cooked beef that was, we got the report that they had not eaten hot meals. And so we were in, we invested a part. I'm just sharing a little part of it. And then we, of course, bought a lot of supplies through that. So get ready. And if you just make sure that you donate through chowderministries.org and click on the banner, or when you are here, we'll tell you how to do it. But we're going to take a special offering to help in the hurricane relief. And you can give to other, we have some good organizations, but I love the idea that we can have some personal investment in specific people who are doing specific things right now, and we get to stay in touch with them and see the result of this seed right there. So I was getting reports even today of what the seed we invested in, already they had bought hundreds of pounds of meat that cooked it and were able to ship it. A lot of good helpers, I know some of them personally, were helping bring it down to that area. And some of these guys, I know in, of course, you saw me, was it last Christmas? I think I did it. And the Christmas before last, that at, on Christmas service, during the Christmas service after I come back from hunting, I wear my camo outfit with the duck hunting, duck calls and all of that stuff. Well, these are some of my duck hunting friends, and a lot of them, Bonnie and I, some of them, we were in Lafayette, Louisiana. And so they really were blessed by our being going. So they had arranged a special duck hunting time for me to go. But some of these people who have their own boats, there were almost all of them down in South Texas, some in Houston, some of the other places. And they are part of what they call the Cajun Navy. And they were some of the first people to go in and rescue all those people flooded out, that the government could do the larger thing, but going out rescuing personally these people in the individual homes, there weren't enough of those. And so people would be desperate calling 911. They were calling emergency help and ambulances, but they couldn't get through. So it was these guys on their little, some of these boats, I remember, I've sat in those. We've gone through the swamps and done garden duck hunting. I do need healing in that area of my brain because I go out in the cold weather and sit in there with calling ducks and go wah, wah, wah. And shoot. But I see all these, this beautiful hunting, but right now they are rescuing in the places no one is able to reach. they are there. I was getting so much. Amen. Give them a clap. Yes, sir. So, well, I've got a scripture for you, but I'll enunciate the watch focus for this tonight. And we want to thank the Lord for all the people that are being used to rescue those precious souls that are hung up in this place. It's the most unusual thing. Sorry for my somewhat disjointed. I feel that we are in the crux where we can take a turn, but God wants us to take a turn towards the faith and towards belief and towards victory for ourselves, our families, for our nation. And this is one of those prophetic signs. Don't look at the negative. Look at even the individual heroic things that are being done. How many of you saw those little puppies and dogs being rescued? Did you? How many of you were really touched by that? Were you? I love doggies. Of course, I love humans too. But to see those individuals reaching out to not only rescue the people, but even they were rescuing those dogs and those cats even. They allowed cats on those boats. Let me read the watch focus that it's for tonight. Pray for the people recovering from Hurricane Harvey and the devastating floods in Houston, Southeast Texas, and surrounding areas. Record rainfall inundated the coast, leaving Houston and the surrounding region underwater. First responders and volunteers rescued thousands from flooded homes and rooftops. Over 20 lives, I think it's more than that now. 28, they expect, I'm afraid, they have some more. And hundreds of thousands of others have had to evacuate their homes, many which were destroyed. Pray, so even tonight and on the next few days, pray for those who have suffered loss of life and homes. Thank the Lord for the thousands of volunteers, first responders, local and federal agencies who have mobilized to help the people of Texas in this crisis. May the Lord bless and strengthen them. Pray also for Christian organizations who are providing emergency aid and disaster relief. Pray for grace, wisdom, and provision to restore Houston and the entire region devastated by this powerful storm and catastrophic flooding. Bind back further destruction from Harvey and its aftermath. And by the way, we need to also bind back any power behind that hurricane that's trying to develop in the Caribbean called Irma. Ask for turnaround and restoration for the region. Pray for the waters to recede and protection from disease. They found E. coli and several other chunky stuff that could cause infection. We ask for the God of all comforters to surround every family affected by this tragedy in his peace and presence. And God bless Texas. Say, God bless Texas. That's, of course, God bless the Carolinas. But from here, it's, thank the Lord that you go home tonight and can get in your car and go to your apartment, go to your house, and it's not, the furniture is not all, it's knee high, and the water is, most of the first story is right now covered with water. So we do bless tonight. God bless, especially in Southeast Texas, and may the Lord protect Louisiana too, we pray. So one of the scriptures, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. That's God's promise. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Psalm 74, verse 15 onwards. You broke open the fountains and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours, the night also is yours, Lord. You have prepared the light and the sun. So, by the way, how many have you, some of you may remember our wonderful cello player who comes and is part of the worship team often. She will play this giant cello. The other champion cello player is Heather. But, yay. But Courtney and Sabata, especially at their own expense, that fly from Houston as often as they can to be part of the worship. And she comes and worships with our team and plays the cello. But now, she is also plays the cello for, several major symphony orchestras. Like, I believe she has played for, Boston. She's plays for the Houston Symphony. So she's quite gifted. But mentioning that, I was talking with them and praying for them. But when the flood came last weekend, she has, three doggies? How many dogs? Two, right? I've spent time in their home. I forgot. Small, teeny, two doggies. And she was doing some last-minute shopping in Target in Houston. By the time she got through shopping and tried to go out, you couldn't. The waters already had become, in that time frame, the waters had risen up. In 1 hour, it flooded that area. So she couldn't, with several other people, including several policemen and rescue people and a lot of other shopping there. They were isolated. That's it. They couldn't go anywhere. If you go out, you could fall and drown. I mean, there were a lot of people who drowned because they went out driving in this thing, and suddenly they went into a spot that would cover them top of their heads. But anyway, so Courtney, if you're going to be isolated and somewhere, pick Target. Target is a good place to pick, or Walmart, or Harris Teeter. It's a good place to get flooded out. Because she had enough. They said, help yourself. So Target had all the food they needed. And then she had to spend the night there. There was no rescue. And, the rescue couldn't come at that time. So she, by the way, even her doggies were with her, got dog food from Target right there. They said, let the doggies help themselves. And then they had the department that has all the bedding and the pillows and all that. So she slept on the big pillows in Target all night long. And sometime the next day then, she was able to find rescue. And they came in and helped. But so our prayers go to all of those people and the ones who are still being out there, isolated, and they need the rescue. How many, did you see the scenes where they had normal vehicles couldn't get into these places, but guys who owned those giant trucks with those giant tires? Did you see? And they were, in my estimation, whenever I would see people driving around in those giant wheeled trucks, the truck is a kind of small body, but there they were on this, what do you call them?
Monster trucks,
yeah. So it was, they were the only ones who could get into some of these places. And I said, wow, I thought when I saw the monster truck, I said, nice little toys, but some of the most useless things I ever seen for practical purposes. No, sir. The Lord totally adjusted me and said, I have used for the monster trucks. They are rescuing people who couldn't be rescued. Praise God. And of course, the individual Cajun boats, one or two guys getting into their boat, going out and rescuing. The reason I'm making a point about this is that there is, and it did not, did you see, and it helped me so to see, it was good to see the people being rescued and then finding a place of where they could go shelter. But it was individuals going into these places and rescuing the people. And it didn't matter. There were black owners of boats going out rescuing white elderly ladies. Or vice versa. There were the Cajun, some of the Cajuns or whatever, guys from Louisiana on their duck boats going out and rescuing, whether they didn't say, well, are you black or brown or Hispanic or white or what? Or Democrat or Republican? We were all human beings. And I think the Lord was emphasizing certain things, and that is part of our prayer, that God will give in our nation and then also in our church supernatural unity, that united we'll be able to do things and be strong. So don't let any demonic thing try to attack to divide family relationships, by the way, for example, and then community relationships. We saw that during the season here in Charlotte, last in the wintertime, when there were things that were happening that could have easily tried to bring negative poison in relationships, and God came and put a stop to all division and hate. I mean, not all, but say that wave that God said, no, I'm going to have mercy on this city and on this region. So we want to pray the Lord's healing will come. Part of it, I'm just enunciating some things, and I'm asking you to voice it tonight, that we thank the Lord for what we see, and that may that spirit, and if I pardon me if I say the spirit of Texas, what we see, may that spread across our nation. I want to give you the scripture in that context of in Ephesians chapter 4. We often, in this, the cultural vibration we have had in this last several years, we, for its own reasons, the people who love to have power, especially in Washington, D.C., over these last many years, Republican and Democrat, so it doesn't matter whichever, they were all, it was like, let the government do it. We will do it. And in fact, give us lots of your money. One of the facts, by the way, I found that a lot of people are unconscious how much are taken away by taxes. You pay more for your taxes than you do for all your food and electricity and other different needs that you have. Taxes are more that are taken. And I say, well, it's okay. I pray for the government, blessing, all of that. But it took the individuals who went in and rescued these people and are still doing it. So the government can do its part, but there are so many things that they can't do what the individual can do and what the local community can do. And in that context then, here, I'm going to give you Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So you, each of us, has a calling in God. Don't let the devil ever tell you you're useless. You can be a point of loving someone, giving a healing word, giving an encouraging word or a prophetic word. You have a place to encourage different in different ways. God has a gift in you, and walk worthy of the calling. Each of us has a calling with all, and then this is the way he's telling us, that as for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the way that we should walk in lowliness. So not full of pride and full of our own worth and puffed up, but God says, walk in humility and lowliness, and walk in gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. So a person can have some weaknesses, but you will have to. Jesus covered our sins. I pray that God will help us cover each other in each other's weaknesses. So in love, in gentleness, in humility, with long-suffering. Say long-suffering. And that's a word many of us don't enjoy seeing. But it's God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the grace for it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So wherever we are praying. And therefore, as we pray in the area of spiritual context of unity in the Spirit, to keep that. Often, people have given in to something and made them divide themselves from lifelong relationships, from friends or family. And God says we should be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And may that then be our prayer for our nation, that we can keep unity, that there would be from this season what we see of people helping each other. And it's not just Texas and Louisiana, but there are thousands of people from other states that have converged with helping hand for these people in America who are right now going through some deep pain and hurt. It says here, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then it goes. See, I was talking about the individuals. I mean, with the boats, with those giant trucks. Each one was able to be used to help the suffering humanity around them. And so it says here in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, I'm putting it more in our context, the present challenges that we have and what's happening right now in South Texas. It goes on. He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. But I want to take it a little further in the sense we can over-spiritualize that. And I want to just go to the practical area of what I'm seeing, is that who would have thought that these guys blowing on their duck calls and on these duck boats or on those big monster trucks would be used by God to go in and rescue people that none of the others were able to go in. And each one is a gift that saved other people. And in that context then, I want to put it also in the context of the spiritual, is that each of us has been given a gift. And We don't have to be jealous of anyone else's gift. May the Lord bless every gift and then let it come together so that we as a community can come together and bless the people who are in need at that time. I want to, even for the coming days, I'm praying, of course, that the Lord will protect our region. But what if next year, during this hurricane season, it's huge wave of hurricanes? How many of you, by the way, have been in a major hurricane or some kind of major storm? Raise your hand. All right, keep it raised. Just Donna, what storm was that? I'm sorry. Someone have a spare mic?
Hurricane Gilbert in 1988, I think it was, yeah.
And where were you?
In Jamaica.
Jamaica. And so was that near Kingston? Where were you?
I was in Mandeville.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about that?
It was just very frightening because I actually lived in Kingston but went home to my parents in Mandeville for the weekend, and it happened during that time. And I lived with my cousin right in front. It was on the in front of the sea. So while I was gone, they had to evacuate the area where I lived. So when I got back, everything was destroyed because the house was under water. So it was really, the aftermath was not nice because we didn't have light. You know, going to the supermarkets, the food was just rotten. It was just not nice because there was no light. No, it was just not a nice
experience.
So
where you had been living with your cousin, that area, the wave came in, the surge?
Yeah. So our house in Kingston was underwater, but I was in Mandeville at the time when the hurricane happened. So I wasn't, you know.
Now, when the hurricane happened, you were in the interior?
Yes.
Yeah, so it didn't affect that area too much?
Not in Mandeville. Right, yeah. But a lot of people lost, you know, like the roofs went, you know. So even where I was, my house, my parents' house, that did not happen. But around, even in the interior, you had people who lost a lot of stuff, you know, so.
Yeah. Just think, coming back and seeing where you had been living, devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else raised their hands? They were in a major storm. Back there, Richie.
Yeah, Pastor, I'm in Buffalo, New York, the blizzard of 77. We had we got 120 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
And I was a milkman. And the snow was so bad that everybody got stuck and they couldn't move. It was so bad that at my house, when you opened up the door, it was snow. All the way up to the roof. Over the roof and the whole, people were frozen in and they were stranded in freezing water.
Wow.
It was amazing. It really was. And it lasted for a real long time. And it was.
So it took some days for the snow to melt.
Oh, yeah. They took over a month because they had to get the snow and move it out of the city. The only place they could do is they put it in the river and in the lake. They had to dump it in the lake. And they were literally had the military come in with these big giant trucks and fill it with snow and they would dump it. And then they were literally picking up cars and putting them in the back of the trucks. They didn't even know it. They had the mountains and mountains of snow just to make it able for people to, you couldn't get food. I was a milkman. I was one of the only milkmen delivering milk to the store so people can have milk. Because every, you know, when it snowed, everybody goes and gets milk and bread, right? So I was like I was a hero. I was a rescuer. I was delivering milk for all the babies.
Call you the milkman. Milk. Yeah, wow. See, yeah, that's amazing. Some of the reason I wanted you guys to share some of these moments is we need to understand how it impacts the individual. And, you know, one of the first things that Bonnie and I went through Hurricane Andrew, we were right in the middle of it in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Miami area. And immediately when the storm comes, one of the things is water. In hurricane or tropical storm, when there's a surge, it pollutes most of the water systems. So you can use it to wash your hands or something, but with lots of soap. But you can't drink it because it carries disease pretty quickly. So that's an important thing. Who else raised their hand? I just wanted to see some of the back there, Richie.
We had Hurricane Hugo, 1989, I think it was.
Where were you?
At that time, we were in Union County, devastated. But the beauty of it was that neighbors that you never knew that you had, we had to all come together because we all needed each other. And that was the beauty of it, just sharing your homes and grilling and there were no refrigerators, there were no lights, there was nothing. And in Union County, we had well water and septic systems. And like you said, everything was polluted. We couldn't do anything. It was devastating for about 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. But the beauty of everything was that we met our neighbors and we had to get together and use chainsaws to cut trees off of homes. And yeah. It was a good time for relationships.
Amen. Yeah, see, that's to see the positive in this and say God used it in different ways for us to be united. Now, what year was that?
1989.
Wow.
And no one expected a hurricane to come in so close inland. And I'll never forget it. I was saying, that can't happen here. Until I woke up about 4 o'clock, the doors was flapping, windows were shaking, trees was lying down. I said, "No!" But yes, it was absolute devastation in this area, Union County. Absolutely.
Wow. That's one of the thoughts I had was praying about. I mean, thank God it's. We have been somewhat safe for the last few years, but this is, we can get impacted by a hurricane. And I was saying, well, what would we do? And I said, we could make open this auditorium and this place as a, if we were safe from floodwaters, we could just set up beds here for people to shelter, not just our church community, to be anyone who has needs, that they could come here. We have gas and electricity. We have ovens and gas where we could cook and provide for food. But it's something long-term that is good for us to pray and think about whether we could, how we could make this a shelter for people if needed. It's pretty strongly built, and so. And as long as it's not flooded, we can give shelter here, but collect certain things ahead of time. So who else would like to share their storm? All righty, Nancy, and then you'll come here, over there.
Well, I was just going to share a little bit about Hugo. About Hugo. Anyhow, my son lived on the Outer Banks, and I called him, and he said, "Well, Mom, I think the storm's coming your way." Well, my mother was living with us. She had moved up from Fort Lauderdale, and she was on oxygen. And so my husband knew how to switch it over to the large tank that you have, an emergency tank. When the man that supplied it came, he was very, very proud, and he said, "We only lost 5 people."
Wow.
For lack of oxygen. And so I didn't leave the house for 10 days, mostly because of the situation with her. But down on Sharon Road, when the trees came up, the root systems came up, and they were as large as that screen up there. The sidewalks would come up, and then the root systems. And so there were huge trees town all over. And at Mercy Hospital, they had a huge tree that came down, and it was not moved from the emergency area for 3 days. And so it was a real true storm.
Amen. Yeah. But Bonnie and I, in the Hurricane Andrew, I remember we lived in the low area of Broward County, Fort Lauderdale. And so we went, because the surge, if there was a surge, if it was just 11, 10 feet, it would have come into our house. We were not far from the beach. so we moved the kids and ourselves up into a little bit higher area of friends we knew. We saw the storm. We were right in the middle of it. But when we came back to our house, the big branches had fallen on our house. And so you get some of these effects, and we don't realize how much people are affected in different ways. You have an experience.
I wanted to add something else.
Yes.
My husband's people were from Roanoke Island down on the Outer Banks, 12 miles by 3 miles. And, of course, they've had a number of hurricanes. Now, my sister-in-law, water came into her house 3 separate times. And finally, the government okayed moving it up about 7 or 8 feet. But they kept waiting for her to pass, and she just refused to until they did that, because she wanted her grandson to inherit the house. So now they've moved it up 7 feet higher.
That's a good note. Yeah. Someone else. Yeah. You had your hand up here, right? Yes. Share that.
Mine isn't quite so dramatic, except I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I was 8 or 9, maybe even 7. It was in the 1940s, and I don't know if they were even naming storms then, or at least not giving them female names. But there wasn't a lot of communication, just radio. And my mother heard that there was one coming, and it did hit Baton Rouge even pretty far inland from the Gulf, but hit it pretty hard. And my mother was terrified because she wasn't used to that. She was born and reared in Chicago. So she said, "Let's go to the courthouse." And somebody took us. My dad was at work and had to stay at the plant. He was working at Ethel Corporation, which was an oil refinery. So anyway, I don't know about the after effects. I know I had a lot of fun spending the night in the courthouse. It was a big building and all those stairs, and that was fun. But when we got home the next day, part of our roof had blown off, and it was metal, sheet metal. And the neighbor next door, they lived fairly close to us. They had stayed home and sheltered at home. And her son was going to go out, and it was blowing so hard, she said, "Get in here. You'll get your head cut off. You see that roof?" And sure did. It blew off. But I don't know anything else. Like I say, it wasn't as dramatic, but my mother gave it a lot of drama because it was terrifying to her.
Yeah, I bet. Just think of the roof blowing off. Just in that context, about 100 years ago in South Texas, then there was same kind of hurricane and storm like thing, but in that It just shows how much things have improved for all humanity, that there was nearly 7,000 people who died just 100 years ago. So because we didn't have the facilities, electricity, all of that, that we do now. So we have to thank the Lord for all of that. Here, let me read you, and then we're going to pray for people. Is there someone else who really wanted to share your experience? Yes, thank you. Hold on. Let the mic come to you.
What I'm fixing to say, that God will watch over you. We lived in Lake Wylie, South Carolina, when Hugo hit.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't think it was going to come up this far. But that night, me and my son was in bed asleep. And my wife come running out and said, "Lord, get up. It's awful outside. Trees is falling, everything." So we got up, and we all fell on our knees and started praying. And the next morning, I went out after it was over with. Trees had fell on trailers, underpinning, uprooted. We lived in a mobile home. It was just tore all up, all the pieces. And they wasn't one strip of underpinning tore out my trailer. My trailer was not hurt at all.
Wow.
Now that showed you right there, God watch over you when something like that happens. But it surprised me death when I went out and seen, boy, my trailer's not even hurt. And the ones all around us, big trees that fell on them, underpinning, tore out and everything. So I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's really something. It's a great sharing the story. It, unless you are in the middle of it, you cannot fathom the power of the wind and what it can do. And when we were in the middle of Hurricane Andrew, the good friend that we took shelter in his home with all our kids, he was an old Florida hand. He had been through so many of them. So he was not too afraid. He said, "Okay, Pastor, come over here. You want to see? Come here." I said, "No way am I going up." He said, No. We are right in the place where it's circling around, but you can see the effect. We are sheltered from that in this corner. But watch." And then as we looked, it was Dick Garland, and it was, the wind was nearly 200 miles per hour. I mean, and it's hard to imagine that kind of gale force around you. So when people have gone through it, we just send our prayer, I just want to say, for all the people in that region of South Texas, that the Lord covered them. I'll give you this final scripture, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we'll pray and just bless the Lord and pray for the people in that area of Houston and South Texas. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." But what I want to realize is, "and knit together by what every joint supplies." Say it after me. Every joint. Every joint supplies. So we together are called by God to supply what we can. We don't need to worry about other things, but the purpose of God is so that united we can be a powerful force for blessing and love and healing and restoration. So it is the will of God that we be in unity, but every little bit, every gift is anointing. May God bless you gift tonight. And may the Lord bless Texas right now. Amen. Michael? Take your neighbor's hand. Let's pray for right now for Texas. And then I will have Richie and company take charge for more. Lord, we humble ourselves. And these different stories of people who have lived through the storm, Lord, we know what these precious people have gone through. And some say some of the worst is still yet to come. Lord, we pray strength for them, shelter for them, and may every joint supply. We pray for South Texas. We pray for Louisiana, Lord. We remember them and we pray. You are the shelter, Lord, and cover them under your wings. We just agree in prayer, sending blessing towards Texas. We say, God bless Texas. We thank you for Texas. We thank you for every life saved. We thank you for the emergency workers. We thank you for every rescue boat. We thank you for every rescue truck. We thank you for the National Guardsmen. We thank you for every place, every church, every place that's opened its door to shelter people and those who are working on those emergency centers. Lord, protect them. There are people who still have to go out in these waters, and we pray for their protection. Lord, we agree. Thank you. And let this be a sign. Let it be an encouragement for all of America that together, God, as we are united, we can bless every person, whether it's Democrat or Republican, whether it is Hispanic, black, white, whatever, whether it is from Oriental, it doesn't matter, Lord, that each of us needs your loving hand and mercy. Extend your hand of love, Lord. Unite us as a people and a nation. In Jesus' name we pray now. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.